Morning. Now we're going to read, learn from the Bible. If you have the Bible, please open the Bible. The Old Testament, the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Daniel, chapter 6, 1 through 13. Let me read it. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now, Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional quality that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, administrators and satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy, and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless he has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "My king Darius, live forever. The royal administrators and prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So the king Darius put the decree in writing. Now then, Daniel learned that the decree had been published. He went home to his upstairs room, where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree during the next 30 days? Anyone who prays to any god or human being, except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den." The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, prays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When I was a junior in college, third year in college, I came to believe in Jesus Christ. So I did not know before then how to praise God, but then after I became a Christian, I came to understand how important it is to praise God, and I came to enjoy praise God through music. And I realized that music exists to help us praise God. So that's the time I realized the importance of music, which is to praise God. And of course, I always liked music. I play the piano a little bit. I play the drum a little bit too. So I was so happy when I realized I can use music to praise God. So I bought lots of hymnal CDs and bought a guitar and played the guitar to play hymns. So that gave me a motivation to learn how to play the guitar. And it was fun to learn how to play the guitar. So my hobby became, you know, well, the singing hymns became my hobby. So I really enjoyed singing hymns and praising God. So that's how I So the reason I did that, of course, was I was full of thanks to what God has done for me. You know, before I became a Christian, I did not know anything about Jesus. But Jesus knew me before I was born, you know. So before I knew anything about him, he died on the cross to forgive me of my sins, and he was resurrected, and he prepared salvation for me. So I was full of thanks for that fact. You know, it is, if you do something for someone, if that person doesn't know what you're doing, that's kind of, it hurts you, doesn't it? But Jesus Christ was, in a way, it was in the same situation. He was, even if he was ignored, even if people treated him as a person who didn't exist, it didn't matter for Jesus. He waited for us. So I was so thankful for the fact he did that, prepared my salvation for me before I knew it. He led me. So I was full of thanks. And he gave me certainty in my life. I was able to hand my life over to Jesus. And I was so happy because he gave me certainty in my life. You know, before I became a Christian, I always wanted to, I wanted certainty in my life. So that what I had to do was to work hard, to save money, and study, and to build human networks. But once I'm saved, I realize Jesus Christ gave me certainty. And he helped me realize I don't have to be afraid of death even, because he gave me eternal life. I don't have to be afraid of death. I can live freely for God, because God has saved me. God loves me. And I have a promise that I can go to heaven. So that promise made me happy. So I realized I did not have to be shackled anymore by money, by society, by people. But I can now live in God's kingdom, where victory is promised. I can live freely. I was so happy to become a Christian. So before I knew it, God prepared grace, salvation for me. That certainty already existed for my future. So I was full of thanks. So I was so happy. So I loved singing praise songs. And I wanted to tell other people about Jesus. And I went to a seminary. And 20 years have passed since then. And somehow, praises for God have decreased. Sometimes I don't praise God anymore. Sometimes that I have those times in my life now. I have experienced some difficulties in my life, like everybody else does. And then I begin to forget sometimes the grace that God gave me. And I forgot to thank Him for the certainty He gave me because of the current situations that I experience. So instead of looking at Jesus, who is the source of grace and certainty, I oftentimes look at problems that affect me in my daily lives. So instead of praising God, I often say in my prayer, please do something for me, help me, save me, solve this problem. So that's the type of prayer people do pray, and God does listen to that kind of prayer as well. But oftentimes we forget to look at the past in which God prepared salvation for us. And then we forget to be thankful to God. So instead of paying attention to the certainty that God prepared for us, we are worried about problems that are affecting us today. We are worried about human relationships. We are worried about pain that we feel worried. And somehow we forget about the certainty that God gave through His promise. So instead of thinking about eternal life, we are worried about problems that affect us every day. So do something for us. Please solve this problem. That's how we pray. As if, you know, we are very similar to people who donate money to Shinto shrines. That's the kind of prayer we sometimes offer. So then our praises disappear. Praises of God. So we are often focus only on today's problems. And our problems almost becomes our idols, because that's the only thing we pay attention to. If you look at the Old Testament, you can see how God led people of Israel out of Egypt. And He gave them the promise of the land of where milk and honey are spacious. If you look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. So this is what God said to Moses when he was 80 years old. God wanted to rescue people of Israel and wanted to lead them to the land with milk and honey. This is not actually the first time that God said made a promise like this. Actually, God made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There was a promise that was made even before Moses. And so God was confirming this promise, and this is going to happen. So the promise was made by God, and this promise of blessings will happen without fail. this was certainty. But in spite of that promise, the 12 leaders of Israelites who went out as scouts, out of 12, 10 people said, we will never receive this land. We will never be able to possess this land. There's so many things we need to do if we to possess this land, and we don't have the time or energy to do this. So they were afraid of the people who lived that land in that land. So these people completely deny the promise that was given to them. So instead of believing in the promise God gave, they were worried about what they have to do today. They were worried about the lack of power. They are afraid. So they forgot about the fact they were able to escape safely from Egypt. So they cannot believe in the promise that was given to them for their future. And they even tried to kill Caleb and Joshua, who believed in the promise. If you look at Numbers chapter 13, verses 27 through chapter 14, verse 11. Again, Numbers chapter 13, verses 27. We'll start from there. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us. It does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the man who had gone up with him said, we can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me, in spite of all the signs I have performed among them? So they were paying attention only to the problems they had at that time. So they forgot about the promise. They did not believe in Moses and Aaron, what they said. And they even tried to stone to death Caleb and Joshua. They were so nearsighted. So they were afraid of the problems they had. And they even thought about stoning Caleb and Joshua. If you look at verses 8 and 9 again, it says, Joshua said, "If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." That's how Moses appealed to the people. But people are paying only attention to the problem they had at that time. Moses said, "Do not rebel against the Lord, because God is going to protect us." But they're afraid of the problems that they had. Verses 11 said, in that passage we just read, "The Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me, in spite of all the signs I have performed among them?'" My sermon today is titled "Nearsighted Murderous Intent and Hope Based on Revelation." The people of Israel at that time were so nearsighted and so afraid of the problems that they had. But Caleb and Joshua had hope based on the revelation, the promise God made to the people of Israel. So just because you have a problem doesn't mean you give up on the promise God gives you. Faith is about believing in God, praising God, even if you have a problem today. Caleb and Joshua believed in God's promise and praised God, even if they had problem that they saw. So if we don't have real faith, we will pay attention only to the problems we have today. And then we maybe become like the Jewish people at that time. Sometimes the problems we face today are overwhelming. But we have to believe, we have to realize we have the promise of eternal life that God gave us. One of my seminary professors wrote a book, and in that book he said there are three foxes we tend to have, meaning three bad things. First is ambition, next is jealousy, and third is competitiveness. The people of Israel wanted to enter the land of Canaan. So in that sense, they had that ambition. But they realize that they cannot get what they want. But they cannot believe in the promise that they will be able to get the land. And then the people Israeli people became jealous of the fact of the faith that the Caleb and Joshua had. And they wanted to kill Caleb and Joshua because by killing them, they could get what they want. And this is how human beings are. We have secular ambition, we have jealousy, we have sense of competitiveness, and because of these, we sometimes even think about killing other people, like these people wanted to kill Joshua and Caleb by stoning them. Jesus Christ said, we are murderers, even if we just think of other people as stupid. Because we are oftentimes have a secular ambition, we have jealousy and spirit of competitiveness, and we thought of other people as stupid. So that's what we tend to do. Of course, Joshua and Caleb are human beings as well, and probably had these negative qualities as well. But they focused on God. They believed in the promise God gave them. So, Joshua and Caleb focused on God, focused on hope God gave them. Now, coming back to today's passage, which is Daniel chapter 6. And you see the same thing in this story. Secular ambition, jealousy, and sense of competitiveness. These leaders in who are Medes and Persians. Daniel believed in God, and he had hope based on God's promise. And that's Daniel. Daniel was a special man. Let's look at Daniel chapter 6, verses 4 through 11. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, may King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, governors have all agreed. The king should issue an edict and enforce a decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. So now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. Let me review what we learned during the past several weeks. Now, Daniel is 32 years old. You know, he had an important position, and he kind of retired for 30 years, but he came back again. So this is a new government of the Medes and Persians. So he got this position as a number two person under King Darius. So the two other administrators and 120 satraps did not like the fact that Daniel has such an important position. They were jealous. They were jealous of Daniel. Daniel was an important position from the Babylonian Empire. And so he's kind of like an outsider at this point. And he was from the nation of Israel. Had that such an important position. He believed in God. They did not trust him because he had a different kind of faith. So these other leaders were jealous of Daniel and did not like Daniel because he had a number two position in this new nation. So they hated him. They hated Daniel. So they wanted to make sure that Daniel fails in his capacity as an administrator. And they couldn't find a reason to do so. So they found the one way to make him fail. So taking advantage of the faith that Daniel had. And of course this was a stupid method to make him fail. And their strategy was this, you know, if someone prays to someone other than to the king, then that person should be thrown into the lion's den. So these leaders wanted to kill Daniel, you know. So they came up with this decree, and in that sense, they deceived Darius as well, the king. This is a little similar period, you know, pre-war Japan, a little bit, isn't it? When people were forced to worship the emperor. So Daniel had this little crisis because of this. But he was still praying to God. He believed in God. In that sense, he went against the decree. He knelt down and prayed to God. If you look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, and just as he had done before." So he was not like me, who is very nearsighted and see only problems that exist today. Of course, people like us who have weak faith pray like this. But Daniel was different, wasn't he? We need to remember and be thankful for the fact that God prepared salvation for us in the past already. And God gives us certainty for our future. So we cannot forget to thank God, praise God. Daniel is different, you know. They're trying to make him fail as a number two person in this new government. They wanted to kill him. They're gonna throw him into the lion's den. And this was what was happening. But he still prayed to God. And he was praising God. If you look at chapter 2 of Daniel, you can see how he praised God. Daniel chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank and praise You, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of You. You have made known to us the dream of the king." So what kind of prayer was Daniel praying? In what circumstance? Daniel was in a very difficult situation. Remember that Nebuchadnezzar tried to kill Daniel and others who, if they could not interpret the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. So when he was in an emergency situation like that, Daniel was praising God. And then let's look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. "Now when Daniel learned that a decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before." So, again, Daniel, when he is in a crisis, he prayed to God, as usual, praising God. Why is that? Because he didn't forget. He did not forget the Lord. He did not forget the grace the Lord prepared. He did not remember, he did not forget the salvation God prepared for us. The grace Daniel experienced in the past and the certainty in the future, Daniel remembered those. Daniel was not nearsighted. He focused on hope based on God's promise. He remembered the grace. He remembered the salvation. He remembered eternal life. He remembered God's kingdom. He remembered the special privilege he was received as a believer in God. So he did not pay attention to the problem. In this case, the problem was the possibility that he may be thrown into the lion's den. That's why he praised God. That's why he was able to praise God. According to a book that I read recently, praising God is the best part of our prayer. The praising God is the most important thing to do in our prayers. That's why Psalms are important. When the Psalms consist of praises. The book of Psalms is very, very important. That's the thickest book in the Bible. Daniel's faith was pure. His faith was quite pure. And now, we live in a very difficult period because of the coronavirus. But is it just difficult today? Our lives are actually always difficult, right? And our lives will always be difficult. You know? Inequality, discrimination, natural destruction of nature, fake news, all these problems existed. We always have difficulties. And in a sense, God has been telling us, you know, to pay attention. In a sense, the God has been issuing an emergency decree. God will come, you know, Jesus Christ will come back one day. The Bible says Jesus Christ will be back sometime. The kingdom of God is near. That's an emergency decree. So we as Christians, we need have a responsibility to pay attention to the emergency decree issued by God. Not just the emergency decree issued by our secular governments. Otherwise, we'll be the same as non-Christians. We need to focus on God today as Christians. We need to focus on God's grace and promise, which are beyond the problems that we're experiencing today. God's salvation, God's healing, God's judgment. We need to pay attention to those. We need to kneel down, like Daniel did, before God, and praise God. That's what God expects us to do. And God loves us. God cares for us. And so we need to pay attention to God. Wherever we are, we need to praise God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, you gave us everlasting blessings and promise, and we have hope based on your promise. In spite of that, we act as if we do not know you. We are often nearsighted. Help us to count the blessings you have given us. And help us to remember the certainty you gave us in our future. Please bless us, Lord. And please care for us, Lord. We tend to have our secular ambition, jealousy, and sense of competitiveness. Help us to love you and then love others based on hope that you gave us. we learned from today's passage. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.